Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, but the Mass today is that for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Therefore, the epistle appointed to be read for this, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul's Epistle of the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom teach and admonish one another by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first, and bind them into bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, as you know, there will be no catechism class today. And also today, the first Sunday, there will be no ceremonial vespers as we normally have, nor will there be any benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this afternoon. Calendars for next year are already available, and whereas you can see either me or Father Francis if you want a calendar, but I prefer that you see Father Francis and leave me alone. So, all right. Today, you may also gain the totius quotius indulgences. And for those of you who live enough away from the church, distance from the church, you know very well that you may gain these indulgences at home at your little home chapels. So make profitable use of your home chapels. They are extremely important. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Today's bulletin may appear to you to be a little strange. But before you come to any serious conclusion about it, I want you to read it through carefully. Not once, but more than once. It is taken from a book by a very worthy priest and a very excellent writer, and it compares prayer with art. Now there is a comparison there, and the first part of this bulletin deals entirely with the attitude that is taken by the artist in the perfection of his trade, of his art. Then the second part of the bulletin, of the narrative, deals with prayer. And it brings the two together in that it is explaining the attitude that we must have when it comes to prayer. And that attitude is very similar to the attitude that is taken by the artist concerning his art. The artist is a professional, and he deals with his art as a professional should deal with his art, with his business, with his trade. And his one desire is to reach and achieve perfection in his art. And he realizes, if he is at all an artist, that somehow or other, if the work that he is performing, the art that he is performing, the picture that he is painting or whatever, it has to be something outside of himself, and that he must be forgetful of self. And that the more he forgets self, the more apt is he going to be to reach the perfection of the object itself. So it is with us. You remember last Sunday, in last Sunday's bulletin, we had the two heads of Christ, one with thorns crowned and one with a golden crown. And we explained how this was. There were several who commented on this as being very important. We are people of prayer. The artist is a man of art. And just as the artist, you know, you've seen these people, these amateurs, the amateur artist. He comes in and he has all kinds of gimmicks and he's preparing and he makes a big fuss and he's awfully busy and busy this and busy that, and he's a whole lot of pomp in the performance of his trade, because he is lacking in circumstance. He has to make up the difference with his pomp. So it is with a man of prayer. The less apt he is to be a man of prayer, the more show he has to put on in order to indicate to others that he's praying. And there again, he is more pomp than he is circumstance. The man of prayer has only one major intention in his prayer, and that is to give glory to God. Of course, we understand that the man of prayer is seeking help and favor from God. We know that. But he is a man, his primary purpose is to give worship to Almighty God. And that in his act of worship, that he simply has to have in his heart the right disposition. And his right disposition is such that it commands his outward demeanor. And his outward demeanor is one of humility. Now, let us clear our thinking on humility. Humility is not displayed simply by my opening the door to let someone pass ahead of me. That has nothing to do with humility. An act of humility has nothing to do with my letting someone else or giving someone else preference. Humility is something of a disposition of heart, a disposition of soul. It puts anyone, if it is correctly observed, in the last place, especially if it comes in terms of Almighty God. Humility puts me at the end. Humility tells me that I am nothing. We must be very careful in our attitude toward others when we speak of humility. We must never, ever, in our estimation of anybody, place ourselves a cut above anybody. There are those of us who go about, demonstrating perhaps a gentleness, good manners, a smile, or whatever, when dealing with others. But inwardly, we might be saying, oh, ho, ho, I would never do a thing like that. I would never use language like that. I would never do this or that or the other like that while I am giving forth the gentility of my good manners. Well, we have an excellent example of this. And of course, we simply can't leave the poor man alone. That is the poor, poor Pharisee who in the temple went up to pray. And he was a gentleman, no question about that. And I'm sure he must have smiled when smiling was called for. And he must have patted on the back when patting on the back was called for. And he was a good man. But he was also saying, I would never do this. I would never do that. I am above. Look at me, Lord, how good I am. How holy I am. I'm a good man, Lord. Be aware of this. The poor man. He pinned all kinds of roses on his greatness and his wonderfulness. But he went home completely unjustified in the sight of God. We have to be careful, my beloved people, because it is such an easy temptation to give in to. When we see someone else do this or do that or do the other thing, and that tarnishes our prayer. It tarnishes our prayer completely. And it makes our prayer worthless. The prayer of the Pharisee was worthless. It did not reach its mark. The more humility that we from our heart place within our prayer, the more apt are we, more likely will we be of being heard. The sinner in the back did not make a show of his piety. He did not dangle his, if they had rosary, of course they didn't have rosary beads in those days, he did not dangle his rosary for everybody to see what he was doing. Nor did he arm himself with huge books as he went into the church to pray. Though do not misunderstand me when I'm saying that. Understand exactly what I'm saying. That if you wish to carry your sacred scripture to church, that's your Bible to church. Wonderful. I do not discourage that. I encourage that. But I mean, you know, the exaggerated. We occasionally have a visitor. I can speak of this because you have no earthly idea of who I'm talking about. He comes from another part of the country, and he comes rarely, maybe once every year or two or three. And when this good, wonderful gentleman comes into the church, literally he comes in with a suitcase full of prayers and leaflets and prayer books, and he takes them all out. And the complete bench is filled with prayers and prayer cards. That's what I have reference to. Our prayer has to be genuine, has to be simple, has to be humble. The poor sinner in the back of the church, the publican, in the back of the church, from the depths of his heart, he cried out from his unworthiness. And he meant his unworthiness. He did not put himself a cut above anybody, but rather he put himself at the base of everybody. And he gave everybody credit by that, of being really, they were the ones. Everybody else was the one that was a cut above him. So when we pray, my beloved people, we must seek for perfection in prayer. This is an obligation if we are to perform that which we were called upon to perform. Prayer is not just a giving forth of an enormous amount of emotionalism. Prayer comes from the heart. And prayer demands sacrifice. Prayer demands love. Sacrifice and love go together. Love without sacrifice is nothing. Sacrifice without love is nothing. Sacrifice and love go together. We sacrifice because we love. And that's where it is. And what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is not wearing a hair shirt. In the monastery, we say we don't wear a hair shirt big shirts because we wear shirts unto each other. In the home, you don't wear hair shirts either, because husband and wife can be hair shirt unto each other. Is that not possible? Is that not also likely at times and places? It is wearing that hair shirt of the husband, or wearing the hair shirt of the wife, or the children, or whoever, wearing that hair shirt in patience, in kindness, in obedience, in respect, in compassion, in all the other ways. That's what the hair shirt means. That is what sacrifice is. It isn't a matter of, I'm not going to eat this piece of cake because I want this extra piece of cake, or I will not eat this hamburger because I want a hamburger right now. That has no sign. The fact is that when I, myself, unaided by anybody's influence, have concluded that I am going to sacrifice by not eating this extra piece of cake, it is not necessarily a sacrifice. And why? Because I determined it. I said that I will not eat this because I want this to be my sacrifice. Now, let us compare the hair shirt business. You have no control. When you may be at home all day, and you've had an absolutely lovely day, everything has been wonderful, the birds have been singing, and the pots have been boiling beautifully, and everything is just lovely. Your day has been absolutely wonderful. And in he comes. And the minute he opens the door, the blackest cloud with the loudest thunder and the strongest lightning comes crashing into the house and into your day. And the first urge that you have is to pick up a pot or a frying pan and hit him right across the back of the head. But no, you accept it. And without you making a big fuss about it, simply let it be understood to Almighty God that I accept this. This is my life. He has not ruined my day, because my day was given to God, and this is part of my day to give to God. And this part of the day is probably a lot more meritorious for me than the beautiful day that I have so far had. That is sacrifice. Or when unexpected problems with children, or relatives, or friends, or family, or whatever, or just anything that is unpleasant that takes place, you have no control over that. That's when you can exercise the degrees of love. I do this for thee. I accept this for thee. And that you don't immediately fly off the handle, lose complete control of yourself, and start the screaming episode one to the other. And so your house, it was once a house of peace, has all of a sudden become a screaming bedlam. That's not the way. There is no bedlam in heaven. So we seek perfection in order to reach Christ, in order to reach God. And the perfection that we're after is the perfection of the saints. The saints are real. Once upon a time, they sat just right where you're sitting, perhaps not in this particular place, but just right where you and I are sitting or standing, every one of them. They are as real, more so, than you are right now to me or to each other. And this is what you must, we must achieve. It's a strange thing, the reality of things. The other day, for the first time, as you know, we have redone the chapel of the relics. And now it is possible for us to say Mass in the chapel of the relics, whereas before it was not possible. And for the first time, I said Mass in that little room. Insignificant, absolutely insignificant to those who do not want to believe. But when I was in there saying Mass on that particular day, I had the most awesome feeling that I was surrounded by royalty, as real as royalty could ever be. That they were all there, that they were all giving praise to God, and I was amongst them. They're real. And by the grace of God, my beloved people, each one of us hopes that one day we too will be as one of them, my beloved people.